Hey everybody, welcome to The Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 371 of Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue, episode 33, Olympias Unbound.
It aired November 10th, 2000, written by John Fletcher and Jackie Marchand, directed by Ryuta Tasaki.
These last three have been right in a row. Have been November 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Yeah.
It must have been a big event.
It was, you know.
This is the culmination. First of all, we got to pay off that good Sorcerer of the Sands content we got last time. It was so choice. Anyway, if you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, we come back and we talk about it, and you can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs, and you should, because Lightspeed Rescue's pretty good. Sometimes there's a Sorcerer of the Sands and he sucks, but like, other than that, and a couple other things.
Aside from a couple stinkers, it's a good season so far overall.
So we're going to go watch Olympias Unbound right now.
Rescue ready! And we're back, and we just watched Olympias Unbound.
Unbound.
He's unbound.
Bound.
So you use the whatever little glass jar key item is on him, and he gets really big, and he gets a bunch of extra floaty arms.
What like are you Hoopa. Talking about?
Hoopa Unbound.
Oh, I never got Hoopa.
Never got Hoopa.
No.
Hoopa Scoopa, Poopa Scoopa.
I just got Poopa. MorphinGrid.tumblr.com is our website. So it's jakeandjosh.com/MorphinGrid. That's where the archives are now updated to include Turbo.
Yeah.
So if you've been missing out.
Not the Turbo bonus episodes yet, but by the time you're hearing this, they should be up. I'm not going to promise that In Space also is on the archives,
but I
want to try to keep the feeds to be just like the last two, and then the archives is everything before the last two, like the current and last season.
Okay, gotcha.
So that way, I don't know, it just feels better.
Yeah. Well, in any case, you can go listen to all that good Terp content right now. Also, you can email us at littleaids.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at Morphin Grid. We're on Snapple Podcasts. We're on Google Play. We're on Podknife. We're on Podabraxia. We're on. I'll explain that in a minute. That's a very good joke. In a second, you'll get it. We're on Pod Baby and Pod Daddy and the whole Pod family. And if you want to leave a rating review on any of those places, that'd be really great. And we'd really appreciate it. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh for as little as $1 a month to get some cool stuff in return, including Tetsuya Nijima Fighters from Beverly Hills episodes and bonus content of us talking about Sonic Movie. And Mario Odyssey, that's also in there.
Update on the Sonic movie.
Oh, gosh.
It's going to be E.T., but Sonic instead.
I forgot that you told me that yesterday. Why?
Because somebody, read the first paragraph of Sonic the Hedgehog's Wikipedia entry.
And he's from a planet called Mobius, and they're like, well, he can't be from Earth. That's stupid.
And then
let's bring him
movie.
Here.
So I think my dream of this being the Super Mario Brothers of Sonic movies might come true.
It's dead on. It's exactly correct.
As long as there's a hedgehog Hatton,
well,
that will be good.
Well, so Eggman's from Earth?
I don't know. I cannot.
Or does he follow him?
I would say I cannot confirm nor deny. But I feel like Eggman is a human. He's probably the head of the government agency trying to catch the alien Sonic the Hedgehog.
It's just going to be regular Jim Carrey.
Yeah, it's just Jim Carrey. He might have circle sunglasses and a mustache.
Goodness. I'm going to watch this movie either way. I hope it's good.
Yeah, I hope it's good in a Super Mario Brothers kind of way.
Yeah, I can deal with that. I love that movie. I was just on a podcast talking about how much I love that movie.
I just watched it the other day. Me and Latasha watched it.
Nice.
It's a good time.
It is. It doesn't make any sense a lot of the time.
It doesn't need to.
But yeah, that's fine. Anyway, yeah, you can go to Patreon for all this good stuff and more. Now, the Abraxia joke, I went to tweet. We record two podcasts today, and we forgot that we were doing that, and so we don't have anything ready for the next one. So I tweeted out to send us something on our Pokemon podcast, and I said, we're recording a Name Raider special, and I typed the word special, and I typed at least half of it. I know I did. And then I don't know what I did for the second half that caused it to completely autocorrect. It's like, you are so wrong. Let me take over. So instead of saying we're recording a Name Raider special, it said we're recording a Name Raider Abraxia Last.
Yeah.
Josh, what is that? Is it with a P or a B? Is it
Apraxia? It's a P, Apraxia.
Apraxia.
Apraxia is a motor disorder caused by damage to the brain,
mm-hmm.
in which the individual has difficulty with the motor planning to perform tasks or movements when asked. So basically, there's a picture that with a cleaner definition. The picture, let me describe this picture.
Please do.
This is great. It's an extreme close-up of the top of a head.
Okay.
With gray hair.
Okay.
You can see the knuckles of the hand holding a comb upside down. So the teeth are pointing away from the head.
So it's just, you do motor functions wrong.
Yeah, and the caption under the picture is, apraxia is characterized by loss of the ability to execute or carry out learned purposeful movements.
Such as
typing.
Typing with your thumbs. So my phone just decided it's a real yuckster now. And it wanted to dunk on me. And it dunked on me so hard that it shattered the backboard. I'm ruined, Josh. Anyway, it's Monday, but we have a guest on Friday. So we are going to do...
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Is that Benny?
Yeah, it's Benny.
Nice.
So Benny's going to be on for that one. We are going to talk about an email that we got right now because... Hey, can I tell everyone a little secret? I think we might have talked about this in the last episode. We're not smart. We're not...
No.
We don't know anything about Power Rangers. So
we only know that we like it, and from there,
we just watch
the show.
And we've watched the show, and then we talk about it, and that's literally... as far as it goes. So when we started doing the Trakina episodes, everyone tweeted us, oh, I hope you talk about all the backstage drama. And I said, how would I know about that? Why would I look that up? And so about 40 people were like, hey, a whole bunch of stuff happened. Hope you talk about it. That was 2 weeks ago because
yeah.
we record a week ahead. So they didn't hear about it until it was already a week late. And we've already recorded two episodes at that point. Like, so we're very far removed from it. But James sent us a little primer on what happened. It's a little long, but there's a lot that went down.
Okay.
So you remember how we were like, that doesn't sound like Leo in the voiceovers.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Danny Slavin walked. So here's what James says. First, you probably noticed Leo's voice is different at times, especially when morphed. That's because Danny Slavin walked off the set before doing the second unit work, including the voiceover. So there's also probably some over-the-shoulder shots of someone with a short haircut.
And his shirt on. We need to point out that Danny Slavin walked off the set because a little girl...
No, that's... His is over a pay dispute.
Oh, okay.
Amy Miller. It's not Amy Weber. You know who Amy Weber is? She was a Diva Search contestant in 2006 on WWE programming. And I don't know why that name imprinted on my brain. Randy Orton took a shit in her purse.
Oh, no.
In case you're wondering who the worst person in the world is, it's Randy Orton.
It's Randy Orton. Just like... look into him a little bit,
yeah,
and you'll see that he's a slimy dirtbag.
He sucks. Danny Slavin walked off set before doing his second unit work. I've heard two possible reasons. One is a pay dispute, and the second is dissatisfaction with the script due to another rumor that the Lost Galaxy cast was promised a reunion movie, but instead got this. Knowing Saban, both reasons are logical. Yeah. So I guess there was, at one point, they said, yeah, this is going to be a movie. And they did release this on video, this two-part. They released it on VHS, which I had. I got it.
Right.
And I watched it. Apparently, it was released here first. So, this is also shot really early. So, the reason Olympia's like, yes, now I will fight the Power Rangers, is because Olympia hadn't shown up yet. At all.
They didn't know what he was yet.
They didn't know, so they didn't have a voice figured out. So this also affects his appearance in Forever Red, but he says he'll explain that when he gets to it. From what I've heard, Judd Lynn had to call in a favor with Danny Slavin and be like, yeah, please,
I've heard about Forever Red that it was like...
the worst?
Tough.
I can they only imagine.
They had a hard time getting that one together.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that they would. A lot of Power Rangers actors... and now they seem to be fine because they can make a lot of money on the con circuit.
Oh, yeah. They are con superstars. Literally every last one of them.
But before they realize how much money fans will give them, they seem pretty bitter about being Power Rangers.
Well, what's great is we'll get to it in a second. The whole stuff with Amy Miller is real funny, and I'll tell you why. There's also the reason why her face is scarred. She's wearing a mask. Amy Miller was set to reprise her role as Trakina. She initially accepted and actually showed up on set, but was dissatisfied over the fact that she would receive less screen time than a little girl. So she walked off the set as well.
So that's not her.
That's not her at all.
I was right. They covered her face because it's not her.
That makes sense. I also heard a rumor that, like Danny Slavin, there was a pay issue. Now, before we get to the rest of this, she walked off set of Power Rangers, the only thing she was appreciably known for, because of a pay dispute / didn't want a little girl getting more screen time than her. Okay. Her Instagram handle is Trakina PRLR. or PR, what was the last galaxy? PRLG.
PRLG.
So apparently, she also figured out that there's more money in nostalgia than your pride.
How does actor pay work?
On Power Rangers, I have no idea because it's not union.
Is it like, we'll give you, I'll use small numbers just to make it easy for
$1 million. $1 million.
We'll give you $50 for this episode, or is it like we pay you this much per amount of screen time?
You get paid per episode.
Okay, but not per screen time. So having less screen time, I mean, you're not acting as much, I guess, so you're not getting as much exposure.
You're not, well, the thing is...
but you're not making less money, right?
No, you would make the same, I think... I honestly, because it's non-union, there's no actual rules governing it. Besides, like, whatever you sign for the contract is, like, it. The reason Billy did not appear in the Megaforce, there was that, or Super Megaforce, there was that, like, ransom note garbage, yeah. Like, hey, Power Ranger, do you want to do Power Ranger again?
That, like, auto keyboard learned some Power Ranger terms and posted an invitation letter?
Yeah, but also, apparently he's SAG, so, like, He's in the actors union, so he couldn't because Saban refuses to sign with the actors. That might very well change now that he doesn't own Power Rangers anymore.
Yeah.
And if that happens, we can get Amy Jo back. We can get him back. We can get Walter Jones back. Plenty of people. Aaron Cahill, Rose McIver. Several people have gone to do real acting and now are in the guild and they can't do Power Rangers anymore because
Maya, I imagine.
Yeah, she's on Disney Channel, so like
I don't remember her name.
Serena Vincent.
Yes, Serena Vincent.
Took me a second. So back to the email. Also, you may notice some story inconsistencies. This is due to three episodes. This is due to these episodes being filmed early. The episode itself was filmed like a movie, especially for promotional purposes, between Saban and McDonald's. Apparently, it was a McDonald's video. You had to go to McDonald's to get this VHS tape of Power Rangers and Lightspeed Rescue. It was split into two parts for syndication purposes. This creates these story inconsistencies. Olivia's voice is far more sedate than in this episode than others, often speaking calmly even when angered. Diabolico is not seen or mentioned, despite having been resurrected by this point in the series. And Vipra and Loki are shown to be completely loyal to him, despite... in the surrounding episodes,
we did talk about that.
In the one before and the one after, they're like, "Let's get him! I hate him." So it was filmed real early, so they didn't know. Also, a deleted scene between the end of part one and part two, Triskull is shown leaving after defeating the Power Rangers, and says that was too easy. This is only on the tape. That's why it just cuts from her going no to like. Them demorphed and running up, and there's nothing there. There is something there, but it's gone. And then this is a weirdly confrontational part. P.S. Lost Galaxy rules, and Leo is a good Red Ranger. I disagree on both fronts, but hey, live your life. I'm
that's
not...
that's fine if you think that, but I don't understand how you could see and watch Leo and think what a good guy.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna yuck any yums. Leo's your boy, he's your boy, but like, he's not our boy.
Nope.
Hashtag not our Red Ranger. I like this new boy better.
I like Carter.
Carter's a lot better. With that out of the way, do you want to talk about it? Talk about Olympias Unbound?
Yeah.
We start off with Olympias wandering through the desert. Because if you recall, he was trapped there by Diabolico last time. This is in the desert.
The Shadow World.
The Shadow Realm. Yeah. Yes.
Not just any desert. This is the limbo for lost demon souls.
Yeah, that might have been confusing because there was also an actual desert that we were in last time. That's on me. So Gatekeeper is also there. They like run into each other because I guess they got separated. And he's like, we were betrayed by Diabolico. And Gatekeeper is just doing the most robotic voiceover that he can.
There's not a lot of emotion, and it still sounds like David Fielding to me. And you'll never convince me it's not him. You can tell me it's that other guy as much as you want.
It ain't. That's David. That's David.
That's your Ranger dad, Dave.
That's old Dave Zordon. So then Jinxer appears in the sky and like calls him, but he's like blurry. He has a bad connection. And he's like, hey, I found this very cool evil book that will get you out, but it's dangerous. But I found it. And he's like, okay, then do it. And he's like, cool, I just got to do a thing real quick. And he's like, whatever. This book has nothing to do with how Olympias gets out.
No, it doesn't. Because maybe the book is how he was talking to him in the Shadow World.
Maybe.
Because it was a projection.
But they don't explain how Olympias gets out. We see it. We watch it happen. But he just does it. And I'm assuming it's because of more power. Oh, and that's it.
Yeah, because Jinxer says to himself, he says, you're going to need to be stronger.
Yeah.
And then... So, Olympias must have heard him?
Maybe he hadn't hung up yet? He didn't hang the book up yet?
Oh, maybe. You gotta close the book. He left it off the hook.
There's your problem.
I always make sure the phone is hung up before you start talking smack about the person on the other side.
So then he got this little star power looking thing.
It's like an amulet.
Yeah, there's like a circle with a star in it that looks like the star that's on Olympias' chest. We go to the theme song. When we come back, there is, according to my notes, a carnival. I had a bad typing day today for a lot of reasons. The first thing I wrote, Olympias wanders through the desert, that took me like 9 tries because it was like, a womp, 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 womp. And I'm like, that's...
Oh, you were trying to cast a magic spell.
Yeah. Womp, 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 or eat up a bunch of tasty pellets. So at the carnival, Dana is like dragging Captain Mustache. She's like, oh, let's get popcorn. And he's like, okay, I should get back. It's like... We gotta go. It's today's Labor Day, Captain. You should take the day off.
She grabs him and she's like, "You are going to have fun with me, Dad.
We are at a carnival and we are gonna have a good time." So then there's a hypnotist on a stage named Mr. Mesmer, and it is very obviously human Jinxer.
It's just Jinxer. He's got a dumb nose and the same hair and mustache.
His nose is longer, his ears are pointed, he has a felt mustache. It's bad. It's just, this is what Waluigi would look like if he were human.
Yeah, if it was like photorealistic graphics, this would be Waluigi. That's why he wears a hat all the time.
Have you ever seen people like the photorealistic, like the super realistic Patrick or Homer?
I have. Here's the thing. They call it photorealistic.
It's not photorealistic.
It's not. It's
gross.
Like, yeah, we made it gross.
Yeah, it's like gross and detailed.
Yeah. They do a lot of Pokemon that way, and I'm not into it.
I don't like that either. I would like to see Waluigi like that, though.
Yeah. I mean, he's already got gross pores on his nose.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like there was an official HD picture where you could see his gross nose. Maybe that's not. I don't remember.
I don't want to. Never mind. I take it back. I take everything back. So the guy, Mesmer, Jinxer, is like, I'm going to hypnotize you. And he's like, I don't believe in hypnotism. That's fake. And he's like, And Dana's like, just like shoves him forward. She's like, just do it, Dad. And he's like, okay, fine. So he sits down.
Bullies him into being hypnotized.
She cyber bullies him into getting hypnotized.
The Rangers have seen Jinxer before, right?
Yeah, they fought him in the episode with the skateboard and thief.
Come on, Dana.
Right? So then he gets just a little hypnotized, like, you're getting sleepy. You're getting all that garbage. And he does. He does get sleepy. And he's like, and you are going to cluck like a chicken. But while this is happening, he like slips the little star power disc amulet
into his pocket.
And he's like, you're going to cluck like a chicken. He's like, I am not going to do that.
Well, before he does that, he repeats over and over, you must obey, you must obey. And Jinxer's eyes glow red.
Yep.
As he's slipping the star into his pocket. So, yep, you know, some bad magic is happening. Yep. And Dana's watching this, and he's not as sly about slipping the amulet into his pocket as he thinks he is, because it's like, clearly you can see it through the hole between the captain's body and arm.
I don't know if Dana was at a bad angle or if she was like looking at it, because close-up magic is all about misdirection. So like maybe it was like you're looking at Captain Mustache's face to see him get hypnotized, and that's where everyone's attention is. But yeah, also his eyes glow red. But then
his eyes start glowing red.
Like a demon. You know, like a demon that you fight every day. So,
but when he says, now you will cluck like a chicken, because it cuts back to her, like, inquisitive about what's happening.
Is my dad going to cluck like a chicken?
And then he says, cluck like a chicken, and she just laughs. Like, it snaps her out of being suspicious of it.
Yeah, well, because he said, you must obey, you must obey, you must obey.
Like, you know, like a hypnotist.
Like a hypnotist. So then, like, they walk away, and he's like, sorry. And then he's still on stage, and he's like, you must obey or whatever. And then he goes, like Captain Mustache does. And then he's like, oh, no, I'm fine. Sorry. And then, like, they keep walking. And then he walks. Then Jinxer walks away and turns into Demon Jinxer right behind his booth.
I feel like this is all one shot, because the guy in the makeup, he, like, runs behind the thing, and then the camera pans around, and regular Jinxer is running.
Yeah.
It's very clever.
It is, yeah. And, like, you can do that when you got, like...
Also, there's people, like, 4 feet away.
They're right there still. They haven't dispersed. So then we cut to Olympias, who sees a bunch of demons, and in hell, where they are, in the Shadow Realm, the demons, the dead demons, fight everybody. They just want to kill everyone. So they start fighting Olympias, and he just, like, kills a bunch. And then he starts vaping them. Then he vapes them right up.
Yeah.
He vapes their power.
He loves that tasty monster that demon cotton, vape juice.
Ripping those demon cotton.
What yummy scent do you think his vape is?
Oh, like sulfur.
Delicious.
He loves a sulfur vape.
It's like sulfur and strawberries or something. Just like fruity fart scent.
Very bad.
Vape in a public. I don't know if you still can, but there was a time when vaping was new where you could like do it in movie theaters and
I
stuff.
Feel like you should be allowed to grab the vaping apparatus and just chuck it as far away as you can.
Just because it doesn't smell like smoke does not mean everybody else wants to smell it.
And like, it's water vapor. It's still nasty. And also, it's not just water
vapor. You know what happens when you get water in your lungs? You get pneumonia or you die.
Yeah.
Sometimes both.
Sometimes you die from the pneumonia.
Keep your water vapor to yourself.
Yeah, just do it outside or in your own home where you can't bother anybody.
Also, your vape rig looks ridiculous.
You look stupid. And like, if anyone listening vapes, like, whatever. I can't stop you. But you do look a little stupid, and you have to know that. So we cut from him vaping. Oh, no, sorry, we don't leave yet. Because Gatekeeper comes up. And he's like, Olympias, share some of that power. He's like,
Olympias vapes like 2 rounds of monsters.
Yeah, he rips some nasty cotton. and then Gatekeeper comes like, oh, you vaped up their power. You should share it with me. And he's like, no, and like shoves him back. And for a second, it looks like he's going to vape Gatekeeper
too.
It
would have been very clever if he did vape Gatekeeper and he was able to use his gatekeeping powers to like get out. But instead, he shoves him down and he goes, no, they're mine.
It's my vape.
can't have it.
And then Gatekeeper's like, okay, sorry, and grabs him. also, he transforms. Like, he turns into like a half a dragon. Like, he's got big dragon wings and a big long butt tail. And I say butt tail and not just tail because definitely his butt elongates into a tail. Then Gatekeeper.
So now, I don't know if demons poop or not. But does he now poop out of the tip of his tail?
No, Josh. He just lifts his tail up to poop.
But his butt elongated into
the top of his butt. Like his butt, tailbone butt part. Not his butthole.
You raised the question,
His butthole did not grow a tail. That would be horrifying.
Not grow a tail, just like, I don't know, moved down
slither
one.
Slither down. No. No, Josh. So the thing that I really took away from this scene is that right before, because Lemmy's about to escape, right before he does, Gatekeeper grabs him like Lois Lane grabbing Superman. Right. He's like, Olympias, you're so strong. And then Olympias shoots a hole in the sky and flies out. What's Jinxer in this book doing? Nothing.
Talking.
Hypnotizing that mustache. Speaking of, we cut to a cemetery where Jinxer's like, according to my calculations, it should be right here. And then Olympias lands. And he's like, Olympias, or Jinxer, I'm going to need more power. I can't survive off the vaped demons alone. And he's like, oh, I've got a plan for that. And we cut to Captain Mustache. And he starts doing a long-distance hypnotism. And he's like, you must obey. And then, however many miles away, Captain
Under
Mustache.
Under the water.
In the water, Captain Mustache is like, I must obey.
Yeah, and then he walks through the whole Aquabase.
There's a guy, and his name is R. Brown. And it's not Dickie.
No.
Maybe his name is also Richard.
Maybe.
But this is hashtag not my Dickie. And so he's like, Captain Mustache, I have a report. And he bumps past him saying, I must obey. And everyone's like, oh, you know, Captain always must obey him.
You know, the top of the food chain around here, he must obey.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like, he's been possessed by, I don't know, a demon?
That's ridiculous. There's no such thing as monsters, you idiot.
So he goes into a boiler room. There's a big fancy door and he locks it. And then there's like these weird, they're the power cores, but they're just these weird big tubes with lightning coming through them, sort of. And so he puts the star in the center of one and like shuts the other one down.
There's a perfectly star amulet shaped hole in the center of the core.
Yeah.
It locks right in there.
Yeah, I'm just going to chuck that up to like production. Like, it has to do that,
right?
Because otherwise, did they accidentally make a power core that can fit in a thing that will siphon energy and give it to their enemies, or did Jinxer craft this star power like remote, this like Bluetooth star power, that he crafted specifically to fit in a power core that he could not have seen?
That one
I don't like either option.
Because magic. He's a magic fly man.
I don't like him.
He's very gross.
So Olympias gets double starred, and then we cut to inside the base. By the way, Captain Mustache has not stopped saying, I must obey, this entire time, over and over and over again. So we cut to Dr. Fairweather, who is like looking at something, and then like there's like a noise, and she's like, what's that?
All the lights are out.
Oh, right, because he shut down three of the four power core.
He focused, like, I think it was he was focusing all of the energy into the same one.
That makes sense.
Instead of splitting it, which, I mean, if there are four, it means having all of that power in one is dangerous.
Bad. Yeah, it's probably not good for it. You're going to overload it.
Unless they needed to separate it to, like, this one's for the lights, and this one's for radar.
This is for air. This is for Megazords. He didn't get the Megazord one in any case, as we'll see in a minute. So Dr. Fair was like, hey, someone's messing with the power core. And then the Rangers come up behind her, and they look in a monitor, and they see Cat Mustache, who by the way, has, like, Power Rangers possessed under-eye bags.
Yeah, it looks like he hasn't slept in a couple days.
Yeah. Next season,
he's got red contacts in.
Yeah.
Because when he first was being rehypnotized, they glue red. Glowed red?
I think it's glowed, but glue feels right.
They glowed red.
I also have a problem with past participles and speaking in general.
They were glowing red.
Yeah.
And I guess just keeping that special effect and like following him as he walked and stuff probably proved too difficult. So let's throw some red contacts in there.
Yeah, in 2000, it was kind of hard to like lock down. They're like the tracking on special effects was not as good. Like 2002 is when it kind of popped off. That's when like Firefly came out and like they had just like kind of figured it out to get it down to like a TV budget. Not a Power Rangers TV budget, but like a regular TV budget.
Right. Not the $27 they get for Power
Rangers. Yeah, because it used to be like if you want to do a special effects shot, you like lock the camera down and you show it and you put it over and you like, you know, if you move it, you have to do it frame by frame. It's a real hassle. And then like around 2002, I don't know what movie it was. Probably Lord of the Rings, like, figured out a bunch of new special effects techniques, and because of that, like, now it got cheaper, because that's right. What happens when you figure out how to do it better, it gets cheaper. So yeah, they're probably just like, let's just get him contacts. He's rerouting power, and then they're like, she says something about, like, I got the Megazord power separate, but that's it. Like, we're going to run out of air if we don't get through to him. And they're, like, trying to talk to him. And Dane's like, wait a minute. The hypnotist from earlier said, you must obey. So maybe he's must obeying. And, Dad, you must listen to me. You must listen to me.
I like the idea she has of, if I tell him he must do something else,
maybe that'll work.
It'll counterbalance, yeah, and like break the hypnotism. It doesn't, though. Instead, he grabs a pipe and smashes the camera so he can't talk to her anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty rad. So then Not Dickie comes up and is like, hey, we're getting an energy reading from the cemetery, because we still have energy reading powers right now.
Maybe they got it right before the power went out,
right? Okay. It's like, and it's 4 megawatts, which doesn't seem like a lot to me.
It doesn't. If a standard light bulb is 40 watts.
Yeah.
Then 4 megawatts is 100 light bulbs, which in your house is a lot.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, it's not a lot of power. Like, you could turn on 100 lights in your house.
Yeah. I think the reason this didn't seem like a lot is because I had a lot of lighting classes in college, because I went to film school, and I just, like, you get used to using real big lights, and it's just like, oh, four mega, well, that's just like a 4K light. That's like,
right,
kind of big, but it's not huge.
It's questionable if that's big enough for them to pick up on a reading.
Yeah, it's have you ever seen a show or a movie where they're like behind the scenes at like a movie theater?
Yeah.
or a movie set, rather.
Yeah.
So there's like a couple different lights that are just like around. There's ones that are about like, trying to think, like a coffee can size, a little bigger than a coffee can.
Yeah.
That's a 1K. So then, like, I guess it's like a double the size of a basketball hoop is a 4K.
Okay.
So it's like a light about this big. You obviously cannot see at home, but like, right, Josh can. That's not a lot.
No.
Like, that's not large at all. So I don't know. Maybe they're just very sensitive to the cemeteries. This is a very nice cemetery, by the way.
It's very fancy.
The one in Japan that they're filming in for the Sentai is beautiful.
Yeah.
And there are actual crosses on the gravestones, which is kind of a weird thing to see in Power Rangers, but also we did see a real gun, so maybe I shouldn't be too surprised.
Nothing is off the table.
So then they matched it as well as they could in Power Rangers, and they also found a pretty good-looking one. For like the couple shots where they are, they have America footage for that fight. The Rangers go to fight Olympias while Dr. Fairweather tries to find Captain Mustache. It doesn't go great. Gatekeeper's there, Jinxer's there, Olympias' new dragon form is there, and they just beat up the Power Rangers. But at one point, the Power Rangers are like, let's use our thermoblasters, you know, boosted mode, and they shoot at Olympias.
Right before they shoot, Olympias is like, that's a great idea.
I love that.
It's like, hey, I hope he said that under his breath. I mean, it sounded like he said it loud enough, like he always talks. It's like, maybe you should have heard that.
But like, I don't think, I mean, the Rangers never react to it one way or the other. So it's, you know.
They must have just not heard it over the sounds of their weapons materializing.
Yeah. And then also, like, Jinxer, like, does like another little, like, you must obey to like get him to like, or no, maybe I think he's like channeling the power at this point.
Yeah, I think he's just keeping him under the spell to like protect the amulet.
Yeah, because he gives it like, there's like another sheen of power around the star in Olympias' chest, and then he gets shot and he's invincible. And the gatekeeper's like, he's invincible, sucker. You're never going to beat him. We cut back to Dr. Fairweather, who is like, has two guys with her, and she's like, cut through the door. So they have like laser cutters.
She tries to appeal to the captain first. She's like, hey, you need to open the door. And he just is smiling at the amulet. He's gone. He's completely gone. He's not even saying I must obey anymore. He's just smiling at the amulet like a crazy person.
Yeah, and he's doing a real good job.
Yeah.
His acting is really good in this episode. And so then Olympias grows, and we cut back to the aqua base, and they're running out of oxygen. Some guy in a lab coat runs up and gives Dr. Fairweather and the two guys like little oxygen masks. And then they, like, we cut back. They get in their Zords. They go to, they do the, like, the cut. I don't even remember what it's called. The super, you know, they're, like, finisher. They go to do that. And Olivius just grabs a sword and, like, it dematerializes
it. He, like, heat-misers it.
Yeah. So Carter jumps out, and he's like, I'm going to get in the Super Train Megazord. So he jumps in the Super Train Megazord. Olivius grabs the regular Megazord and is, like, about to, like, chokeslam him or something. And Carter, like, slides in and does, like, a running, like, a sliding punch.
Yeah.
It's Kairi Sane's sliding D. That's one of her signature moves, and Carter did it.
It works. It sends Olympias flying across the city.
But then he's like, I need more power. So Jinxer, like, gives him more power, like, siphons more power off from the Lightspeed base, and then he just does this, like, Star Fox's over B and Smash, where he does, like, the Phantom thing, and he just, like, flies through him real quick, and just, like, cuts the two of them. He's like, aha. And then he just, like, starts floating in the air, and he does what I called a super flap, because he flaps his big wings, and some green tornadoes come out of him.
Oh, dang.
And they start smacking the Rangers around, and they're about to, like, destroy the Megazord, and Carter jumps in the way of in the Super Train Megazord and basically sacrifices the Super Train to not let the other one get exploded and die. Did the Omegan Zords pop out of the Super Train? That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, he says Omega Crawler, and they pop out of the train pieces.
Yeah, which is rad.
That's very cool.
But, like, I was not expecting it.
I was not expecting it. We've never seen this crawler before.
We did see it the first time it showed up when they were drilling the bombs on the asteroid.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's the only time we saw the crawler.
Okay.
It looks goofy.
It's very weird, because it's like a Megazord. If a Megazord was like...
doing a Valdo walk.
Yeah.
It's a Valdo Megazord.
Ugh.
I love it. So...
it's made out of mostly rubber and a lot less metal, except for the spiky part.
Just some spiky parts on his crotch and eyes.
And his big cod piece. And the, like, rest is bandages.
And some belts. One time he's got like a nice red shirt and some pantaloons on.
A lot of his, like, other attires, I don't know what you call them in a regular fighting game. Yeah, his costumes. A lot of his, like, extra ones get real weird.
Yeah, there's, like, the BDSM ones, like, just the standard Valdo.
Yeah.
And then, like, some of the other ones are like, here's Valdo if he was a mummy, or here's Valdo if he was kind of a Hellraiser, but not really. And then one is literally like, here's a fancy boy Valdo in Soul Calibur 2, where he's got, like, a red 18th century noble shirt on and pantaloons, like the, like, big puffy pants, right, and a gold cod piece that sticks out, and it's just so distracting if you're not playing as Valdo. He's the greatest, and I love him. So
I could not tell you another character from Soul Calibur, except for Link on the GameCube version.
That's Soul Calibur 2. That's my favorite version. There's Ivy.
Ivy and her whip sword. That is such a cool weapon.
That might be the best weapon. There's Taki, who is the ninja with the...
she got, like, the elbow blades.
I don't know if she had elbow blades. She definitely did not have a bra, though.
No, Taki... okay, this is coming back to me a little bit. I did have Soul Calibur 2 on the GameCube because Link was in it.
Yeah.
Taki's the one with, like, the skin-tight red suit. Yeah. Okay.
And absolutely no support for her moves at all.
No. There's total jiggle physics on those.
Yeah. There's Cervantes, who is a ghost pirate. He's like a Spanish ghost pirate. He's Ivy's dad. Ivy, by the way, 106 years old, in case anyone was wondering. There's...
still rocking it.
Still just super hot. She's video game hot. So let's see. I'm trying to think. There's Killick, who had a staff. There's Huang, who was not in Soul Calibur 2, but he was in Soul Calibur 1, and my little brother used him at Pizza Haven. There was Soul Calibur 1 arcade machine, and that head, who's sitting right over there, just kept doing, like, over attack.
That's not the nunchuck guy.
No, he had a sword. Okay. I don't remember who the nunchuck guy is.
The nunchuck guy is just, like, he's the button-mashing intro character.
Yeah, I mean, that's also Valdo. If you don't learn anything with Valdo, you're still just as well off as anyone else.
And Nightmare wields the Soul Edge.
Everyone can get a version of the Soul Edge, but he, like, comes default with it.
Him getting it is part of the story.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, a bunch of others.
There's some other people. There's definitely, like, a little girl with elbow blades.
I know who you're talking about, but I cannot remember her name.
Because I remember being very good fighting as her.
You remember being better than some other people.
Very good with her as a character, as opposed to how I am with anybody else as a character, which is very bad. I am not good at fighting games.
And there was also Yoda was in the Xbox. What? Maybe it was Darth Vader was in the Xbox version.
This is the PlayStation one. Was it Crash Bandicoot?
Yes. And his Soul Edge was a gross eyeballed wampum fruit. I don't know. I have no idea who was on the PlayStation. Anyway, back to Power Rangers. This has been Soul Calibur Minute. Everyone's least favorite fighting game, except for mine.
It sounds cool.
The
lore of it sounds as cool as Mortal Kombat, I might say.
It's rad. I love it. And what I especially love is, like, you go through the story mode with somebody, and at the end, it's like, if you pick the Soul Edge, it's like, here's the bad stuff that happened to you. And if you don't, it's like, here's the good stuff that happened to you because you destroyed it. It's cool. So it's like a bunch of different endings. Anyway, they finish cutting the door back. They get the Omega and Megazord, by the way. They finish cutting the door, and they're like, what do you want us to do? And she's like, kick it down.
Yeah, they cut through the door, they turn around, and look at Dr. Fairweather and say, all right, we did it. And she's like, kick it in?
They're like troops in a real-time strategy game. Like, I did the task, and I'm done. And
yes.
Like, okay, well, just do the next thing you should do. After you get the wood, you should bring the wood back.
Yeah, they harvest all the resources, and they're just holding it in their arms like, I got the wood.
Got him.
Great.
Good. Put it in the pile so we can make roads and churches.
Start building the walls, maybe. Do something.
So then they kick the door down. They go in. Captain Mustache is nowhere to be seen. So she goes to, like, turn the machine off. And a hand comes from around the corner of this big computer. And then he slides over.
With that same smile on his face.
The same, like, serial killer grin. And he throws her against the wall. And she, like, hits the wall. She's like, ugh. And then he beats up the two guys that are with her. Because he still got it. As we've seen
in
previous episodes. And so while he's doing that, she sees there's one on. There's a thing in it. So she grabs a fire axe from the wall and just, like, rears back and destroys the Bluetooth star power, and it explodes and blows her and Captain Mustache back, but, like, it's a really good moment for her.
Yeah,
like, she just destroyed it with a fire axe.
I would have liked it better if she just went in there and
beat him up
and then took a fire axe to it, like, because she couldn't grab it because it's in the energy core, and also a demon artifact.
Yeah, and you don't want to just touch it. So then we cut back to Olympias falling on his face, because now he doesn't have any new star juice.
Yeah, and also the pendant, the hypnotism pendant, like, blows up in Jinxer's hands.
Yeah, and so they kill him. There's some fighting. It's actually pretty good. There's like that, oh, the tide has turned, and now we can beat you. So they just, like, rush him. They don't give him a chance to, like, do anything. And, like, they do some missile attacks, some slashes, a bunch of shooting, and they end up blowing up his star power crystal thing on his chest, and then they kill him, or so we think.
His death is pretty cool, because he's, like, walking toward them, like, this can't be happening, I can't be defeated.
Yeah.
If they don't do anything else, he just stops, falls back, and blows up.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
By the way, I didn't notice this, but you did. Gatekeeper grew with him.
Yeah, when he grew, Gatekeeper was standing right next to him over the community college or whatever that they were attacking.
Yeah.
And he's gone. He does not come back.
Yeah. I didn't even notice he grew, because he just isn't in any of the Zord fight.
Yeah. He's not in any more of this episode. I don't know if he's ever going to come back.
I mean,
or if we're just supposed to forget about him.
I mean, maybe. He served his purpose. Only time will tell. So we cut back to the lab. Dr. Fairweather wakes up. She kind of gets up, and she goes over to Captain Mustache, and she's like, Captain, are you all right? He's like, you're going to need to explain what's going on, because he apparently has no memory of what happened, which is good. I like that. I think that's a good... I never mind when it's like, I don't remember any of the things I did while I was possessed, because, like, that makes sense. I like it. Both ways are fine.
No, he wasn't only possessed, but also hypnotized.
Exactly. So, like,
yeah.
Him being like, what's up? What is this? Why are we down in the
boiler
room? You
better be able to tell me what just happened.
Please tell me what's going on. So we cut back to Jinxer, who is unearthing Olympias from under some, like, slabs of concrete. And he's like, oh, you've been defeated, but you're alive.
I just want Olympias to be dead already.
There's only seven episodes left.
He keeps losing, and Diabolico is a better bad guy.
I think the problem is that Diabolico was brought back in American footage and not Sentai footage.
That could be.
So I assume he's just actually dead and maybe in this the hell world. But there's six episodes left, and we've got Banshira right here. Like, now's the time. Have her, like...
She's glued to a rock, stuck in the shadows of the Skull Cave.
Have her vape Olympias, which would be, like... She's his mom, so it'd be real nasty to be like, oh, that's how little she cares about things. That'd be a good moment for a villain.
She did laugh at his demise last episode.
Yeah, she's like, cool, he's stuck in hell. I love that. That's my favorite. So we cut back to the Power Rangers. They're dressed for the beach. Did not recognize Kelsey.
I did not recognize Kelsey at all, even when we got, like, the front shot of her.
Yeah,
but from the back,
her hair looks a little shorter.
From the back, it's her running up with a surfboard, and this reference is going to be lost on a lot of people. But if anybody watches Big Brother, from the back, she looks exactly like Brunette Tyler from the current season.
You lost me.
He's got that, like, shoulder-length, bushy, curly hair, and it looked exactly... He's, like, a surfer dude from, like, North Carolina.
Sure.
It looked exactly like him. I did not recognize Dana either away.
No, Dana is... She's got her hair in pigtails.
Yeah.
And she's in, like, a pink, like...
Is this a halter top?
I don't know.
I hesitate to call it a crop top.
It is a cropped top, but it
has,
like,
no back.
It has no back.
It's just tied together.
And like
back.
The bottom isn't just like cut off. Like it's like sewed so that like there's like a hem, so it like kind of flares up a little bit.
Yeah.
And like it's a little ruffly, but not really. I don't know what to call it. And she's in that in like jean shorts, and then.
So I was like, who's the interns stealing the the rescue
but, like,
rover?
Also, Kelsey is in like. Orange board shorts and an orange Hawaiian shirt over like a yellow tube top.
Yeah.
There's Carter who's in like shorts and a like an open Hawaiian shirt. And then Chad and Joel are both wearing.
I did not see Chad.
Chad is wearing a very big gray tank top. It's very long over blue shorts. And then Joel has like a white tank top over green shorts, but they're all beach ready. And it's just a weird look. But then Cat Mustache comes in and is like, hey, you got training today. You got to run 5 miles with full gear. And while he's doing this, Joel sees a little watch. And he's like, I know what I will do.
And I'll trigger that PTSD.
And I am embarrassed to be watching this program. I'm getting some weird secondhand embarrassment for what Joel's about to do. So he grabs it and he goes behind Cat Mustache and he dangles. He's like, you're getting sleepy.
Because Carter's like, come on, let's go to the beach.
Go to the beach. We just did a thing.
We just killed Olympias, as far as they know.
Right, yeah.
He's in this whole speech now of how they can't have any time off.
Can't take a day. I've got to always be ready.
Because he tried to have fun once and it backfired.
If you go to a carnival, you will be you will turn into a hypnotized
Was
man.
The whole thing demons?
Maybe.
Did Jinxer plan ahead far enough that he got all the proper permits to set up his hypnotism booth at this carnival?
And advertised and knew that Captain Mustache was going on? That's the part that gets me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He was just hoping Captain Mustache would go to a carnival because it's so in character for him to be there.
He loves fun and games and clowns and ring toss and slides.
I love that big slide.
That big slide rules.
You have to go down in a potato sack.
Yeah, you get on a burlap sack, you slide down it. You ever seen the little Yorkie that keeps going on it?
I did.
That's my favorite. He goes down. He's like, that was so good. I'm doing it again. Runs up 100 flights of stairs. Gets on. And the guy's like, yeah, go ahead. You don't need a ticket. You're a dog. He slides out of his belly. It's adorable. So there is a minute or two where he's like, you're getting sleepy. You will give the Rangers the day off. And he's like, I will give the Rangers the day off. And they're like, yeah. He's like, except for Joel, who now has to run 10 miles of full gear. And like Joel's like, oh, come on, man. And he's like, no, hop to it. Get going. And we kind of end on them dunking on Joel, which is always a fun time.
It's a good way to end.
It's always a good time for that. And that's the end of the episode. So.
Yeah.
Josh, I started.
You did, yeah.
What's the best?
Oh boy, What is the best? The
Fire Axe.
Oh, the Fire Axe. Yeah, absolutely.
Doctor Fro with the Fire Axe.
Yeah.
Gotta be the best. What's the worst?
Also a little bit Dr. Fairweather being like, kick the f***ing door down.
Kick the door in, you Why? Idiot.
Like, you don't need an order every time you move any part of your body.
That's what I like about her.
The worst is Jinxer's human makeup.
Human Jinxer was pretty bad. Pretty creepy bad. Cause it
not,
was
not bad in that, like,
it didn't look like...
Yeah, like, it was convincing, bad. But it was unsettling, and I did not like it.
And also, like, it just looked like Jinxer, but if he was a white dude, like, that's it. I'm going to say the worst is also that. Also,
not a lot was, like, really bad.
No, nothing was particularly bad. Here's the tricky thing,
though. The worst is the gatekeeper disappearing. That's production-wise, that's the worst thing. That's the biggest plot hole in the episode.
Yeah, I'm still going to give it to human Jinxer. Not necessarily that he looked unsettling, just that, like, it's literally just Jinxer who the Power Rangers have seen.
It's like when Team Rocket puts on a mustache.
Yeah.
It's except like, he also already had like a bug antenna mustache.
Yeah, it's like you didn't even like bleach your hair and put some self-tanner on and get in a skirt like James does sometimes. Like, you didn't go any farther
Not
than,
in America.
Like,
those episodes are banned.
No, there's at least one.
Oh, no, it's the beach one where he has giant boobs.
Where he has giant inflatable boobs. That's also the Porygon one, so that's why it got banned. Presumably, they'd be fine with James with big old fake boobs. Anyway.
Because Pikachu flashed some lights, Porygon can never be in the anime again.
That's weird. Who's the MVP?
Dr. Fairweather.
No, yeah, you're right.
They'd have been screwed if she didn't do that.
Yeah, and she's the only one who like did anything by herself. Everyone else kind of did things as a team, and they were all like fine as a team. But yeah, Dr. Fairweather...
Also, it's very apparent now that because the captain was compromised, she's second in command.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like everybody immediately turned to Dr. Fairweather.
Yeah, they're like, what do we do? And she's like, okay. And then she just is like, this, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
Cut the
she,
door
like,
down.
Knew exactly what to do. She did not have one moment of hesitation, like, oh, this is too much for me. She was just like, no, we do this and we...
Yeah.
We kill the captain if we have to.
I guess we murder him if we need to. And then I'm the captain now. And I'm Captain Fairweather to you.
Captain Dr. Fairweather.
So now we got to rank it.
Yeah. Let me open that up.
I don't know where this goes.
I'm going to... How do we feel about this compared to Ocean Blue? I think better.
I think it was better.
All right,
so Ocean Blue was just, like, confusing.
What about the last episode? I like this better than that one, too.
I like it better than that.
If not only for the reason that the Sorcerer of the Sands is not even mentioned, which means he actually did just die and turn to dust.
Yep. Well, also, Ryan's the only one who knew about him, and we didn't see Ryan this episode.
That's
so
true.
So maybe he'll be mentioned again, but yeah, they were just like, nah, forget that.
I don't think it's better than Olympias Ascends.
I don't think so. Either. So coming in, the new number 11, right under Olympias Ascends, Olympias Unbound. We put Sorcerer of the Sands pretty high. I bet the first part of the episode was really good. And then all I can remember from it is that dumb sorcerer.
I don't remember anything but the waka 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 waka
waka waka waka waka. Josh, what are we watching next time?
Next time is Lightspeed's Daughter.
Ooh. Well, we were going to have a guest on. We are going to have a guest on for that. Should be a really fun time. We'll see you on Friday. But until then,
may the power protect you. Fun of me when I throw mine. Leave yours halfway across the house.